The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Zulvija contains depictions of violence, mutilation, strangulation, and cruelty against animals. Please exercise caution for children under 13. King Bakur paced in his throne room. His grizzled hands held a delicate pearl box containing a lock of golden hair. Bakur fondled the strands and touched them to his battle-scarred face. For the past week, he had waited anxiously for his messengers to locate the young woman they belonged to. He had never wanted anything so much in his life. Bakur's chamberlain interrupted his pacing. The mousy, trembling man informed the king that his best riders still hadn't found her. Bakur slammed his hand on his throne and let out a menacing growl. The chamberlain nervously offered to increase the number of messengers, but then another voice emerged from the shadows.
"You could send 1,000 men, but you'll never find that woman. And even if you did, you'd need someone very powerful to bring her here. But it just happens to be your lucky day. I can do it for you, if the price is right."
"Who said that?"
the king demanded. The source of the voice emerged from a dark corner of the hall. It was an old woman cloaked in moss and twigs. King Bakur drew his jagged broadsword and stomped over to her.
"Who are you?"
he boomed.
"And how did you get inside my throne room?"
But the king's rampage was cut short when the old woman's eyes flashed an iridescent yellow. The king instantly relaxed. He suddenly forgot what he was yelling about. He had a strange intuition to trust the old woman.
"If you succeed," the king said, his voice now calm, "you will have all the gold you can carry. I don't care how you do it. Just bring her to me."
I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we're finishing Zulvija, an ancient Armenian folktale about love, redemption, and magic. This week, Prince Samos and Zulvija battle an evil king and learn that secrets might be more dangerous than daggers. Coming up, Happily Ever After is poisoned by a stranger. Prince Samos and his enchanted horse Kitezok burst into the village just outside his castle from an explosion of lightning. Citizens stumbled backward in shock, their mouths hung agape. Not only was Samos home and alive, he was atop a magical beast. A cheer went up in town, and it soon roused everyone in the castle, including Samos's brother, King Orontes. Orontes followed the sound of the commotion, sprinting through the castle to the front gate, where his heart almost stopped at the sight of his little brother. Samos dismounted and smiled sheepishly at Orontes. Before either young man could speak, they collided in a tearful embrace. Orontes pulled away first, wiping his damp cheeks.
"I was so afraid you were gone forever, just like father."
His voice trailed off. Samos swallowed hard and told his brother about his journey in the old forest. He chronicled how he had located their father's remains and how his men had been killed by shadows. He described the witch Zulvija, who'd orchestrated all the murders, and how he had defeated her with mud in his ears. And then he eagerly told Orontes that despite her crimes, the witch's motives had been pure, and he had fallen in love with her. Now he had the pleasure of inviting Orontes to their wedding. The king paused for a moment, staring hard at his brother. It was a difficult idea to swallow, marrying their father's killer.
but he saw the sincerity and love in Samos's face, and he trusted his brother's judgment. If Samos thought Zulvija had a pure heart, then he did too. So he smiled and congratulated the prince on both his heroic deeds and his nuptials. The prince kicked the dirt at his feet.
I couldn't have done any of it without the magic dagger you gave me. I haven't told anyone about it, even Zulvija. Here, please have it back.
Samos tried to hand the blade back to his brother, but Orontes held his palm up.
No, it's yours. Consider it a wedding gift. In a fortnight, we will have a celebration like no one has ever seen. Until then, go be with your betrothed.
Samos resheathed the dagger and thanked the king. They embraced one more time, and then Samos mounted his steed, Kitesok, gave a slight tug of the reins, and disappeared in a fissure of lightning. Before returning to Zulvija's tower, Samos directed Kitesok to the fairy cave, where the winged old lady lived with her 21 sons. Samos wished to thank her for the help she'd given him on his journey to find Zulvija, and invite her family to the wedding, too. When Samos arrived, the old woman greeted him with open arms. The fairy children buzzed in excitement and chanted,
"Brother! Brother!"
He told his adopted family about his engagement with Zulvija.
How wonderful, the old woman exclaimed. We will be there, but before you go, I ask that you give me something that belongs to you.
Samos was confused, but the fairy mother asked him to trust her, so he dug through his satchel, which is when he noticed that the pearl box Zulvija had given him was gone. He rifled through the bag and patted his pockets. He must have dropped it somewhere.
What's wrong?
The fairy mother asked.
I seem to have lost something,
Samos said slowly.
But not to worry. Here's an item for you.
He produced a tiny mirror from his bag. The old woman took it and began intoning in an ancient language. The mirror began to glow. She then handed it to the winged children.
Keep an eye on this mirror for Mama. If it ever starts to bleed, then your brother is in danger.
The swarm of boys piled on top of each other, fighting over the mirror, as the fairy mother led Samos out of the cave. She took his hand and wished him well. The prince thanked her for her precautions, but he assured her that she didn't have to worry. His wife-to-be was the queen of the forest. Nothing bad could happen to them. And yet, as Samos spurred Kitesok toward Zulvija, he couldn't stop worrying that he had dropped the pearl box of her hair. He had to find it, he decided, before he faced his bride. Samos hunted everywhere, in the hills, swamps, and along the great river. Every moment that went by, he started to get more and more upset about his carelessness. But his search was cut short by a plaintive voice.
Excuse me, young man, the voice said. Could a poor, hungry traveler trouble you for some food and shelter?
Samos turned and saw a hunched old woman covered by a mossy cloak. Beneath the hood, he saw two piercing eyes with a citrine glow. The prince stood up and brushed the dirt from his hands and knees.
Of course, I live in that tower just over the way.
The woman grinned at him, revealing several missing teeth.
You live in that tower? You must be very powerful. Tell old Odisha, what's your secret?
Samos looked at her suspiciously.
Secret? I don't have any secrets.
He wasn't sure what to make of her, but she seemed like a harmless old lady. He offered to let her ride on the back of Kitesok, his horse. As Odisha hobbled toward the horse, he bucked and whinnied. The old woman cowered, afraid it might stomp her, but she laughed it off.
It's okay. Such a beautiful horse doesn't want a dirty old traveler mucking up his beautiful hide. I'll follow behind. I don't mind walking.
Samos apologized to the old woman for his horse's skittishness, and then the unlikely trio set off across the last bit of forest toward Zulvija's tower. When Zulvija saw her betrothed approaching, she raced down from the tower and greeted him outside. She jumped into his arms and kissed his lips. She was thrilled to have him home. There was so much to do before they were married. But then she spotted the woman in the cloak and recoiled. She pulled Samos aside and whispered to him,
"Do not let that woman into our home. She's a witch."
Samos was shocked at Zulvija's reaction. He rubbed her shoulders reassuringly. "She's just a harmless old traveler. And even if she is a witch, you're the most powerful sorceress in the forest. She's no match for you." Zulvija's face flushed with shame. She hadn't told Samos that she had lost her powers completely in their battle. For the first time in her life, she was defenseless. But she couldn't tell him, not yet at least. What if he lost interest in her when he found out she was just an ordinary woman now? So she swallowed apprehensively and let the old woman inside. That evening, Zulvija and Samos ate dinner with the mysterious lady. They made small talk and asked her about her travels. After a while, Samos excused himself from the table. He was tired from the long day of riding, but he was also worried sick that he had lost Zulvija's pearl box. Perhaps he had dropped it in the tower somewhere, he thought. Zulvija kissed her fiancé and bid him good night. She would retire shortly too, she said, but she didn't tell him that she wanted to keep an eye on the old lady. Little did she know, Odija had plans for her too. With Samos gone, the old woman turned to Zulvija.
"I'm glad to see he's accepted you, even after you've lost your powers."
Zulvija's jaw dropped. She knew it. Odija was a witch. She stood up ready to attack the old woman with her human strength. But suddenly, the woman's eyes flashed a brilliant golden yellow. Instantly, Zulvija forgot her anger and sat back down obediently. It wasn't only her muscles that seemed to be in the witch's control. Soon, she heard her voice whisper,
"Samos doesn't know."
The old woman feigned surprise.
"Well, surely you must know the source of his secret strength."
Zulvija's cheeks flushed with embarrassment. Did Samos have a secret? It now suddenly made sense. No mortal could have ever defeated her without some sort of trick. She started to feel resentment coursing through her body. Odija cackled softly.
"Secrets make for an unhappy marriage. We should remedy this."
Zulvija saw the old woman's eyes flash again. This time, Zulvija felt her feet propel her through the tower against her will. After a moment, she entered the prince's bedchamber. He seemed to be searching under his bed.
"What are you looking for, dear?"
she asked him. "Nothing," he responded, smiling tightly, nervously. Zulvija heard her voice speak.
"Forgive me, my love, but I keep wondering about the other day. How did you know how to find me and defeat me?"
At first, Samos was shocked by her question. He wondered what precipitated it on tonight of all nights. But more than that, he was relieved. The secret had been weighing on him. He removed the dagger and placed it on the bed. "My brother gave me this magical dagger. It protects me. I even sleep with it under my pillow." Suddenly, a golden light washed over Zulvija's eyes.
"Thank you for telling me,"
she said robotically, and she exited the room as suddenly as she arrived. Samos frowned, confused, but he shrugged off a nagging sense that something was off. The only problem was the missing pearl box. He went back to searching. Meanwhile, Zulvija's feet took her back to the dining room and Odija. Zulvija described the blade to her. The old woman grinned a toothless grin and leaned back in her chair.
"Good girl," she said. Now it's time for sleep.
But there was no sleep for Odysia. In the dark depths of the night, she began to creep stealthily through the tower. She knew there was only one thing standing between her and her quarry, and she would do anything to get it. She needed Prince Samos's dagger. Coming up, Samos's magical dagger is turned against him.
Hi, it's Carter from Parcast Network. The Vatican is one of the most recognizable religious sites in the world, but it's also a powerful institution, its unique history full of secrecy. This Easter, my show Conspiracy Theories looks deep into the Church's past to uncover how it became what it is today. Starting April 5th, our new four-part miniseries, Mysteries of the Vatican, dives in to examine some of the most prominent conspiracy theories surrounding this mysterious organization. From the Church's sordid rise to power, to prophetic visions, and even assassination attempts. Follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Conspiracy Theories, to hear Mysteries of the Vatican. New episodes air every Monday and Wednesday, free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to the story. Everyone was asleep in Zulvija's tower, except for one person, the old witch Odysia. She crept along the twisty staircases shrouded in darkness. She'd come to procure Zulvija for King Bakur, and though Zulvija was now powerless, she knew one thing could thwart her plan, Prince Samos's magical dagger. So she would neutralize that threat. Odysia found Samos's bedchamber and tiptoed in. The young man snored lightly, exhausted from the day's events. Odysia carefully reached under his pillow and felt for his magic dagger. When Odysia removed it from its hiding place, the blade suddenly flashed red hot in her hand. She almost dropped it, but the old woman held on. She gritted her teeth and squeezed her hand tighter. She wasn't going to let a little charred flesh ruin her plans. The old witch raised the dagger high above her head and plunged it into the prince's chest. The blade cut through Samos's ribs like a tender ham. Odysia pushed it deeper through his heart and lungs. The prince convulsed violently. Gray froth spilled from his mouth. There was no blood, however. Only an inky black pus dripped from the wound, coalescing into a dark bruise over his heart. After a moment, Samos stopped seizing and lay still in the bed. Odysia smiled. She had done it. By turning the prince's magic dagger against him, she had doomed him to a death-like slumber. Samos wouldn't be able to thwart the next phase of her plan. Odysia headed for Zulvija's room to capture her once and for all. But she heard a servant in the hallway, so she scurried into the shadows to wait. Zulvija awoke to shrieking in the tower. Her head pounded like she'd had too much wine, but the screaming was making it worse. She couldn't remember anything about the night before. It was a complete blank. But she couldn't think about that now. She threw on a robe and ran to see what the commotion was. Outside Samos's room, she saw a crowd of servants. Even in the early dawn light, their faces were paler than normal. One of them murmured, "The prince! Oh, the prince!" Zulvija couldn't imagine what would be the matter, so she pushed past them. And then she saw something that made her heart stop. Samos lay still on the bed with a deathly gray pallor on his cheeks. Zulvija ran to him and shook him. She begged for him to wake up, but he didn't respond. His skin was as cold as a corpse. At first, she thought he might be dead, but she could hear his heart beating faintly in his chest. Zulvija shook her head. If only she still had her magic, maybe she could save him. As she hugged the prince's body, praying for him to wake up, she heard a sinister voice behind her.
"Such a pity about the prince.
Zulvija turned to see Odija hobble into the room. Her yellow eyes glowed like candle flames, and suddenly Zulvija remembered everything about last night.
"Witch, what have you done to my prince?"
Zulvija cried. The servants in the doorway started to murmur. Some grabbed swords and halberds from the tower walls. They were prepared to fight the old woman.
"This could have been so much simpler."
From underneath her skirt and out of her sleeves, dozens of serpents slithered. They attacked the servants. Their fangs tore flesh in chunks. Blood sprayed across the stone walls and pooled in crimson streams on the floor. The serpents then devoured the dead, leaving only a few scraps of cloth and bone. Zulvija watched helplessly. Soon, only she and Samos remained. Odija, flanked by her giant serpents, hobbled over to her.
"You'd best come with me, unless you want to end up as a meal for my pets."
Tears streamed down Zulvija's face. She hated feeling so powerless. She tried to pull away from Odija, but the old woman's grip was like an iron shackle. Odija muttered several words in an ancient language. Suddenly, shadows uprooted from their corners of the tower and surrounded the two women. The darkness swirled in a vortex around them, and then they disappeared. Moments later, Zulvija and the old witch appeared in a strange place. Zulvija, still in Odija's vice-like grip, looked around. It appeared to be a giant throne room. Across the space, she saw a hulking man with a crown atop his grizzled head. He looked surprised to see them. Odija called out to him.
"Here is the wench you seek, Bakur. Now give me my gold."
Bakur strolled over to Zulvija. As he got closer, she could see how enormous he was, and in his calloused hands, she saw the pearl box she had given to Samos. Zulvija was confused. Why did this man have it? He pulled the lock of hair from the box and held it up to Zulvija for comparison. It was a perfect match. His scarred face twisted into an evil grin, and he howled with laughter.
"Ha ha! I doubted you, old woman, but you did it!"
Bakur yelled for his servants to bring Odija her gold. Moments later, four young soldiers struggled to carry a wooden trunk into the room. Odija opened the heavy lid to see it was full of gold coins. She held up one and bit it. Her eyes widened in pleasure. It was more than she hoped for. Then she muttered a few words in her ancient language. Once again, the shadows of the room swirled around her, and she disappeared. Zulvija was now alone with the grizzled man. She trembled, not from the cold stone walls surrounding her, but for fear of what this man wanted. She felt a thick, calloused finger lift her chin up. Bakur looked down on her with hungry eyes. His dank breath wafted across her face.
"You are just as beautiful as I imagined. You will make a wonderful bride."
Zulvija's anger cut through her fear. She spit in Bakur's face, but the king didn't flinch. He merely wiped it away. He calmly grabbed a handful of her hair and yanked her closer to him.
"I like your spirit, but you will learn to be an obedient wife."
Then he instructed his servants,
"Lock her in the dungeon. By tomorrow, she will beg to marry me."
Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away in the old forest, the fairy children flew back to their cave in a panic.
"It's bleeding, Mama! The mirror is bleeding!"
The fairy mother took the mirror from them. The glass was leaking crimson droplets. She knew her adopted son Samos must be in trouble, so she sprouted her large translucent wings. She commanded her children to follow, and then in a buzzing storm, they tore off into the sky. When the fairies arrived at Zulvija's tower, they found a gruesome scene. Blood spattered the walls. There were shreds of clothing and shards of bone everywhere. And in the middle of one bedroom was a pile of writhing serpents. They seemed to be covering a human body. The fairy mother caught a glimpse of a shoe, which she recognized as Samos's. She feared the worst, but she girded herself.
"He's under there,"
she told her children.
"We have to rescue him."
All of a sudden, the family of fairies attacked the snakes. The reptiles were ferocious, but they were no match for the children's speed and claws. The boys flayed the snakes and then ate their bodies, crunching them into a slimy paste and slurping them down. With all the serpents gone, the fairy mother attended to Samos. She felt for a pulse. He was still alive, but just barely. Then she saw the large, dark bruise on his chest. She had seen this kind of curse before. Someone must have stabbed him with his magic dagger. With one of her long claws, the fairy mother made two incisions over the prince's heart. Bile, the color of charcoal, spilled out of the wound. Then she saw the golden hilt of the dagger peeking out slightly. The blade itself had become tangled in tendons, muscles, and arteries. If she pulled it out rashly, it would kill him. The fairy mother took a deep breath and went to work, methodically removing the dagger. She worked like a surgeon. She made tiny slices to free the blade from veins and sinew. But it was a slow process. One wrong move, and he could bleed out on the sheets. The sun came and went. The moon rose and fell. A new day was beginning when she finally unlodged the dagger from his chest. But the color did not return to Samos's face. His body was still cold. The fairy mother began to panic. It should have worked, she thought. Something must have gone wrong. Her children looked on anxiously. Was their adopted brother alive or dead? She knew they were looking for good news, but she had none to give them. Her whole body sank. Their adopted son might be dead, along with hope for peace and unity between the humans and the wood folk. As she collapsed on the bed in despair, however, she felt the slightest tremor. Then suddenly, Prince Samos's eyes shot open. He was alive. Coming up, Samos races to find Zulvija before it's too late. Now back to the story. The moment Samos woke up, he knew something was wrong. The walls of his room were covered in blood, and his adopted family of fairies hovered at his side.
Where's Zulvija?
He stammered. The fairy mother explained that the mirror he had given them signaled that there was danger, so they came for him. They found him covered in serpents, and no sign of Zulvija or anyone else. Then it hit Samos, the old woman who they had fed. Samos asked the fairy mother if she knew anything about a witch with yellow eyes and a mossy cloak. The color drained from her face.
Odisha! She's a very powerful enchanter, but she has no loyalty to anyone, no love for anything, except gold. That's what makes her so dangerous. She'll do anything if the price is right.
Samos took the news well, however. He suddenly had hope. If someone had paid Odisha to kidnap Zulvija, then she might still be alive. He thanked the fairies profusely as he shot out of bed, grabbed his dagger, and sprinted out of the tower toward the stables. When Samos threw open the barn door, he found Kaitzak, his white horse, stained red with blood. A large serpent was wrapped around him. At first, Samos staggered back at the sight of the monster, but he remembered his dagger. In one swift move, he lunged at the serpent and sliced its head off. The beast's body went slack, freeing Kaitzak. Samos saddled and mounted the alabaster steed. He brought his dagger to his lips and whispered, "Take me to Zulvija." The tip of the blade pointed downriver. Samos tugged on his horse's reins, and they disappeared in a crash of lightning. Hundreds of miles away, King Bakur stood in his castle square, dressed in his finest wedding regalia. He stamped his foot impatiently as his bride-to-be was dragged before him. Zulvija was escorted by two armed guards. Her face was gaunt and pale. Thick rope was tied around her bruised wrists and ankles. The villagers, all of whom were terrified of their king, gathered reluctantly for the wedding. Bakur smirked at Zulvija.
"Do you want to be my wife now, or would you like to spend some more time in the dungeon?"
Bitter hatred gathered in Zulvija's throat. She wanted to curse him, but her body was weak, and her magic was gone. Her beloved prince was as good as dead. She had nothing left to live for. Zulvija opened her mouth to acquiesce, but before she could speak, a bright flash of lightning struck the ground. There, in the middle of the castle square, appeared Prince Samos and Kitesok. They both crackled with tiny pulses of electricity. Zulvija couldn't believe her eyes. She tried to run to him, but she stumbled over the ropes tying her ankles. And in an instant, Bakur was by her side with a meaty paw on her shoulder. He glowered at Samos.
"Who dares ruin my wedding day?"
Samos stared at the monstrous man. He had never seen a scarier warrior. He towered over everyone. But the sight of Zulvija struggling helplessly against the man fired Samos with defiance and determination. He dismounted Kitesok and pointed his enchanted blade at Bakur.
"I am Prince Samos, and you will have to kill me if you want to wed her."
Bakur shrugged at the young prince.
"Gladly."
The king shoved Zulvija to the stone floor. He held up one hand, commanding his guards to stay back. Then he stomped over to the prince, who barely reached the king's collarbone. Before Samos could square up, Bakur swung his fist like a hammer across the prince's face. Samos tumbled to the ground. His head rang and blood poured from his nose. Before he could stand up, Bakur was already closing in on top of him. At the last moment, the dagger pulled Samos out of the way. He escaped just as the king punched down, pulverizing the stone courtyard. Samos stumbled to his feet. He was dazed. The whole world seemed to tilt sideways, but he knew he had to attack. He lunged with the dagger and managed to cut a gash across Bakur's back. The king grimaced in pain, but he turned to face Samos. He outstretched both his arms, then he charged like a bull. Samos tried to evade, but Bakur was quicker than he looked. His hands clamped like shackles around the prince's neck. Bakur lifted him high into the air. Samos felt his windpipe constrict in the king's grip. Samos tried to stab at the hulking man, but he couldn't reach. Veins in his forehead began to pulse. His face turned purple. Finally, he could swing no more. The gilded dagger clattered to the ground. Zulvija watched all of this happening, and her heart broke. She pulled at her restraints. All of her instincts told her to join the fight. She was the Witch Queen of the Woods. But her powers were gone. What could she do? Then she saw a glint of gold on the dagger. It looked like a strand of her hair. She wondered if she might have some residual power over it. In desperation, she reached out her hand and called for the blade. At first, it didn't move. Her heart sank. She was truly powerless. But then, the weapon skittered across the ground and flew into her hand. With two quick slices, Zulvija freed herself from her restraints. Then she sprinted forward and plunged the dagger into the king's thigh. He reacted more in shock than pain. He dropped Samos to the ground with a thud. Zulvija didn't stop with one stab, though. She plunged the blade over and over into his back and sides. but Bakur seemed unaffected, as if they were bee stings. Enraged, he turned around and brought his face close to Zulvija's. He let out a deep, threatening roar, but his bellowing suddenly stopped. Zulvija slashed the dagger across the thick skin of his throat. Blood sprayed from his neck. Bakur staggered backwards, pressing his hands against the wound, but the blood kept spilling. His eyes bulged with shock. Then he toppled over, dead. At first, the villagers watched in stunned silence as their king bled out. Even the guards were unsure of what to do. But one voice broke the quiet with a cheer. Another followed, then another, until the entire village was applauding the death of their evil dictator. Zulvija barely heard the cheers. All of her attention was on Samos, who was gasping for air. She ran to him and wrapped her arms around her beloved. She cried thankful tears into his shoulders. He held her in his weak arms as his breath slowly returned. After an emotional moment, King Bakur's mousy chamberlain approached the couple.
"You are our saviors," he decreed. "It would be our honor if you would rule as our magical king and queen."
Zulvija suddenly felt a staggering reluctance. Magical? She thought. All of her insecurities, her feelings of being powerless, her secret shame came crashing down.
"I am not worthy to be your queen," she said. "My magic is gone."
Then her eyes met Samos, who was looking at her curiously. Her face grew hot, and she took a deep breath before admitting,
"My love, I am no longer the powerful queen of the forest. I will understand if you don't want to marry me."
She averted her eyes in shame. She was ready for him to disavow her, but instead, he put a gentle hand on her face. "You are the strongest, most powerful woman I know. You will always be my queen." Relief washed over Zulvija. It felt like a great weight had been lifted off her chest. She could breathe again. She took Samos's hand, and together they agreed to rule Bakur's kingdom as well as the forest. Within a fortnight, the wedding day arrived. On the edge of the old forest, a giant clearing was decorated with hundreds of white flowers. Bells pealed in the distance, and birds chirped in celebration. The guests numbered in the thousands. There was Samos's brother Orontes and their entire village, all the fairies and animals of the forest, and Bakur's people. Samos and Zulvija stood on a dais in front of everyone, Samos in his fine-pressed formal coat, and Zulvija in a flowing white gown of lily petals. They held hands and gazed lovingly at each other as a priest performed the ceremony. When the blessing was completed, the prince and his queen vowed to rule over the forest and village with wisdom and care, and they promised never to keep secrets from each other. From that day forward, they would share everything. But lurking in the shadows of the forest, a pair of citrine eyes watched from afar.
"No more secrets?"
a thin voice hissed.
"We'll just see about that."
While the story of Zulvija might seem like the archetypal fairy tale, complete with a prince, princess, and evil witch, it can also be viewed as an allegorical account of ancient Armenia. For thousands of years, Armenia's location at the crossroads of Europe and Asia made it a battleground, both culturally and militarily. It was beset by invaders from Persia, Turkey, and the Roman Empire. But perhaps even more dangerous were invaders of a different sort, the Christian missionaries who arrived in the first century, threatening a long history of pagan traditions. The story of Zulvija can be interpreted as a chronicle of Armenia's battle between paganism and Christianity. The eponymous Witch Queen represents the old ways, and Prince Samos is the face of Christianity, young and ambitious. Much like in the story, Armenia's ancient traditions didn't succumb to the upstart religion easily. Many Armenians held to their beliefs in fairies and mysticism, but in the end, a compromise was struck. Christianity accepted some elements of the old beliefs, much like Samos's magical dagger. At first, it represents the cross of Christianity, but it's made stronger by a strand of Zulvija's magical hair. The original storytellers likely hoped to inspire the people of Armenia to stand united, the old traditions combined with Christianity. Only then would they be strong enough to repel invaders like King Bakur and preserve their homeland. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back on Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Travis Clark. This episode of Tales was written by Joseph Bricker, with writing assistance by Nora Battelle, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson.